Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, that little notify bell next to it, where you get all your new Going In Raw content. Comes to you, it's supposed to come to you in your sub box. Get a lot of people on the Twitter, Larson, saying that, oh, they've unsubbed me.
You made what? It public.
I made it public?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Make it unlisted. Quick, make it unlisted. They can't see this.
There's already a bunch of people here.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? Oh my God. I swear I made it unlisted earlier. The stuff doesn't get saved. Make it unlisted.
I can't.
Get them out.
I can't.
Oh, man. Welcome to this free stream. All you non-patrons out there, whatever. Big deal. Anyways, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Oh, my God, Larson. We're exposed. Well, hey, you know what? If you enjoy this stream and you want to keep on watching, it's only $5 at our Patreon to do that and watch our post show.
Here, it's like a holiday preview of what you could expect if you were to sign up for our Patreon.
Exactly, yeah. So anyways, speaking of the Patreon.
Oh, now it says unlisted.
Speaking of the Patreon, we got 51 people watching right now. And I like doing this from time to time, listing off our latest patrons.
Yeah.
So they get their little shout out because we offer that as a reward tier.
Yes.
So I'm going to go back and do this now. Grandmaster Too Sweet. The following are patrons: Edgar's Abolins. I'm so sorry for messing up your name. Kyle Worth, Shane Siegel, Corey Louth, Giovanni Johnson, Robinson, the Prince of Lazy Style, Quinn Fuller, Scott Warburton, The One Piece Is Real, Domino EP, Bad Hoss DJ Johnson, Ryan Mizushima, Isaac Miller, True Bud Ryan Spencer, Jerry Pesonen, Regal Matilla, Panda Adams, Herb, Richard Holloway, It's Me, Emmanuel, Gareth Jones, Larry Keach, Karan, You're Not Me, Bourbon, Fletcher Brody, DX88, Kiyomi 216, Von X, Sam Duke, Alex Knight, Bailey Cohen, Nate Cruz, One and Only Nuggets, Hayden, Tully Hernandez, R. Alex Smith, David Eldridge, Justin Shropshire, Jeremiah Powell, Mr. Chode, Discord Club Official Timekeeper, Primetime Henry Harris, Juggernauts, the Going In Raw Grand Slam Champion, Abdullah the Vegan, Slow Wolf, Stephen Murphy, Milk Queen Sammy C, again, and Carlito 243. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
And if you want a different way, a non-financial way of supporting the show, you can go to the iOS podcast app and look up Going In Raw and leave us a rating or review. Doesn't cost you anything to do that. It really helps out the show. We're also on the Pro Wrestling Tees. We've got a bunch of t-shirts. Here's a couple of them. Look at that. Hey.
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 You're not me.
Hey.
Doesn't work for you here.
No.
There you go. Now it works for you. Look, these are our shirts.
Yeah, I got my Not Gonna Happen shirt and Cold Water Larson shirt in the mail yesterday. I'm going to wear them this week.
Wearing my shirt. Not gonna happen. I know. I got to buy that shirt. Yours. I just want your face on my head. I might do that for Alabama. I forgot to tell you this. We were leaving the daycare, her school the other day, and she loves pumpkins because she likes the Halloween. She's determined that's her prime holiday.
Yeah.
And there's always a pumpkin sitting outside their front door. And as we leave, she'd always freak out and say, pumpkin. Well, like, yeah, cool. And then it was gone because it's not Halloween time anymore. And it was gone. And I said, oh my gosh, who took the pumpkin? And she said, you did. She said, Larson took it. I was like, that son of a bee.
I did take it.
Wow. What a pile of crap. You just stole a pumpkin from a kid's school?
Any pumpkins.
What a real, you're a real, you know what. Anyways.
Wasn't me.
Moving on.
Wasn't me.
Let's talk about Raw, man.
Raw.
Holy crap. What a fun show that was.
It was a fun show.
I feel like the WWE, and I don't think they felt this way forever or for a while. But, like, L.A. is getting a lot more love because they're giving a lot more love.
Yeah. I felt like when we were there for No Mercy, crowd was good.
A lot of good crowds in L.A. these days.
Yeah.
They're turning into, like, a weird, like, you know, smarky kind of town, maybe. They give good pops and stuff.
A hot market.
How about that Jason Jordan Roman Reigns match?
Great.
Holy crap.
I thought Jason Jordan, all around, standout performance.
Let's talk about that in a moment. Well, actually, we talk about it now.
Because, yeah, kicked off the show, man.
Yeah, talk about that. I'm going to bring up the notes.
Yeah, so Kurt Angle came out, dropped a promo. Pretty quickly into it, Jason Jordan comes out.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a shot at Roman Reigns, the Intercontinental title. He basically pleads with his father to give him a chance.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle says, well, your knee's not in good enough shape.
Well, he yells at Jason.
Yeah.
He's like, he's beside himself. He's at this point exacerbated by his son.
Yes.
Who seems to be a royal pain in his butt.
Yeah, just constantly asking for opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So Roman Reigns comes out and he says, he gives it to Jason Jordan for taking the shortcuts,
mm-hmm.
you know, not clawing and scratching and earning opportunity, just asking for it.
And I feel like they missed because
and Jason Jordan sounded like he had the start of a really good comeback to that.
I know.
But then it didn't deliver.
I know. I think that was like one huge missed opportunity, because before we carry on, that match last night, that was a face star making performance from him. And I feel like there was a bit left on the table because of that bit right there. And I think I honestly think it's sort of, if they let him put on that match, what do they want out of him? Because we thought for a week, okay, they're going to go in this kind of like heel, whiny kind of heel thing.
And then this week, it's just like, I want chances. Give me chances. I want to prove myself.
He wants to fight.
He wants to fight, which is, again, a very face thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, Reigns gives him some business about, you know, asking for opportunity instead of earning them.
Yeah.
And Jason Jordan says, who?
He laughs him off.
He says, you're telling me this?
Right.
And instead of saying something like, you've been given every opportunity you've gotten, what have you earned?
You've been handed everything on a silver platter. Yeah, everybody here knows it.
Yeah. He says something like, you're the poster boy for what executive here in WWE want.
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of not the right way to put it, because you're kind of like, I understand, we both agree that that's, I think, what they were getting at. It just wasn't written well enough. You see what Cena did with Roman, and that's exactly how it should have been done, and it could have been, you know, reiterated here, maybe in a different manner.
But maybe they kind of, now that they're hoping that the tide's turning on Reigns getting over as a face, they don't want to bring that up again.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they just lobbed
him. They're trying to protect him in promos now.
Yeah, but my God. I mean, here's the thing about Jason Jordan. I mean, look, we've said it a million times. He's fantastic. He's a fantastic wrestler. His promos leave some to be desired. Although, I don't see him flubbing his lines or anything.
No, I think last night, performance-wise, he did really well. It was just that line, and I'm sure that was written for him.
So
you can't really blame him for a badly written line, per se.
Look, it wouldn't be the first time the WWE was kind of indecisive with how they wanted to approach somebody. Yeah. And this does kind of seem to be that case, because the match that he gave us last night had that crowd in the palm of their hands.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. It was another match that, and I guess this is going to be the struggle that we've sort of talked about Roman needing. Roman, he ekes out his victories every time, but he does it cleanly.
Yeah.
And he can't get pinned.
Yeah.
And so that'll be his road into
WrestleMania.
So
Reigns is ultimately completely dismissive of Jason Jordan. He says, I don't want you tonight. I don't want to face you. I want to face Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Out comes Joe. And he's just mocking the two of them in the ring.
Right.
Talking trash to each other. He wants to fight. So he accepts Reigns' challenge. He said, Reigns, I'll give you 5 seconds to change your mind.
Yeah.
Counts it down. Oh, the crowd was super into Joe.
Oh, yeah, big time.
How can you not be? Joe is the best.
We love Joe.
And so he gets to the count of five. Reigns doesn't change his mind. He says, all right, coming down the ring.
Yeah.
And then Jordan gets back on the mic and says, no. I came in here and came up to Roman Reigns' face and challenged him man-to-man, and you, Samoa Joe, resort to sneak attacks.
Uh-huh.
Joe talks some trash about Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan suplexes Roman Reigns.
That was great.
Yeah, and then Reigns gets the mic and says, okay, no, I want Jason Jordan right now.
Yeah.
And that's what we get.
Yeah. And it was a
like
good
20-minute match.
25-minute match. It was a very long match. Samoa Joe hung out on the stage and watched it all as it went down. But they could get Jason Jordan over so easily just based on his wrestling. You know, like they could have. It's one of those things where they could have I mean, I hate saying this, but the other person that kind of reminds me of where they could have gone maybe with him was Benoit. I mean, we've seen him a bunch of other places, but Benoit literally got to the top based on his wrestling machine-esque abilities.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that was his intensity in the ring. And Jason Jordan doesn't exactly have that same...
I'm not saying that he's a carbon copy of Chris Benoit.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. Well,
I'm saying...
It's like Cesaro. This Cesaro got himself over by putting on really good matches.
Right,
yes.
Putting on really good matches. But I think Jason... I mean, look, Cesaro's one of the most creative wrestlers out there, but Jason Jordan, that dude knows how to storytell. He knows how to build already. And that's a major component of it. And so... The idea that they could have gone the route of hiding his promo weaknesses, which I think they still are. Like, he opens his mouth, and I can't help but hear kind of whininess.
Yeah.
He has kind of a naturally whiny voice.
Well, I think to a certain degree, that's his character.
No, that's not. Dude, when he... Well, no, his literal voice... What I'm saying is his literal voice is kind of whiny.
They're incorporating that into his character, because later on backstage, when he was whining to Kurt about wanting a rematch, Kurt was like, I'm not going to give you a rematch.
Yeah.
And he's kept whining and whining and whining and whining and whining. It wasn't just necessarily the timbre of his voice that made him sound like he was whiny. He was whiny.
In that case, you might be right. They might be taking that and running with it. That could be the case. I'm not sure how you transition that to a successful run as a face down the line. Because his wrestling skills, you can't... I'm not sure you can translate that to a heel, because they're so good and he tells such good stories.
Well, I'm sure you could.
I'm sure you could. I'm just saying that they seem to be taking the difficult route here. I feel like there are different ways to make that kid a star.
It seems to me like what they're going to do is it's going to reach a breaking point between himself, Jason Jordan, and Kurt, where Jason Jordan feels like every time he's given an opportunity, he proves himself.
Yeah.
Comes up a bit short every time.
Yeah.
And finally, Kurt just says, I can't do it anymore because people are going to get on me about, you know, like, it's going to seem like there's nepotism going on here. I'm just giving you every opportunity because you're my kid. I can't do this anymore. And finally, that's when he's going to reach his breaking point. We're going to see the heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see him suplex Kurt.
Yeah. That'd be great.
And I think all this whining is it's like Anakin Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Ugh. God, please don't do that. That's terrible, terrible movies. I don't know. I just think when I see Jason Jordan, I see what he can do in the ring, and I see these matches that he puts on. I personally would have rather seen the story of him always the kind of thing that they were trying to do with Ember Moon a little bit. He's always putting on the best matches against the best opponents, and always just coming up a hair short.
Well, I think that's gonna be part of it. Yeah,
because when he finally wins, it would be such a euphoric moment.
Yeah.
So I kind of would have rather seen that. I'm not sure they have a solid direction on what they want to do with him, given what we saw last night. But, you know, I'm interested in seeing where it goes.
That could have been the plan with him, had the crowd embraced him. But considering they haven't.
I mean, crowd last night did.
Yeah, I know. But for the most part, he's still getting a lot of heat.
When he's on the mic, they hate him. When he's wrestling, they love him.
Yeah.
And that's a weird conundrum to have. I'd rather have the guy in the ring. I'd rather have the wrestling guy, you know. Because I think you can build something really special around that. I'm not sure. I just don't know where you can go with the whiny heel guy.
I'm telling you, it's Anakin Skywalker. It's that storyline.
Yeah, but I don't see him being like a Darth Vader. He's whiny. Like, how can you transition from whiny to Darth Vader?
It didn't work in Star Wars. He'll just put forth more of a baritone to his voice.
Can we give him like the Kane voice thing?
No. Darth, that's obvious.
You are my father.
He just has to start talking like this.
That'd be cool.
Let's talk slower and a little deeper, and you'll be fine.
Talk slower.
Not super slow.
Father.
Just a little bit slower, a little more deliberate.
I want to wrestle.
Oh, no.
Let me wrestle.
I see Jim Morrison now.
Father, let me wrestle. Anyways,
it was a really good match. Get a lot of time. Roman Reigns must have listened to the podcast yesterday because he busted out his submission move.
Right? That was weird.
I mean, it fit the story because he's working over Jason Jordan's injured leg.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man.
But I swear that's the first time Roman Reigns has ever done that move.
There is a low-level rider out there who seemingly is in the main event scene somehow. Yeah, not so low-level.
And Reigns eventually wins the spear in a really good match. A lot of really good back and forth.
Larson booked Raw last night.
Some good counter wrestling, too. Joe did a little bit of a promo saying he's going to wait. He wants Roman Reigns now. He's going to... even though he said you're battered, you're weary, you're tired from a match.
He said, no, this was great because, Roman ended up going over the spear. Joe says, that kid took a little out of you, a little more out of you than you thought, huh? Gave you a run for your money. You make bad life decisions, Roman.
Yeah. I'm gonna go down there and put you to sleep.
Exactly. He said you make bad decisions, Roman.
Joe's the best.
Joe is the best.
He goes down the ring, he puts the clutch on Roman. And then Jordan makes the save by suplexing Joe off of Roman mid clutch.
That was great.
And what does Jason Jordan get for that? A Superman punch.
Yeah. Which I think kind of, yeah.
It was the receipt for the suplex earlier.
Yeah, I know. I like it because this is Roman being Roman.
Yeah.
It's kind of dickish.
It is.
I mean, look, man, if he was booked true to character, which is just kind of confusing a little bit. He's just a confusing person.
It's complexities, Steve.
It's complexities, exactly, yeah. So anyways.
So next, Kurt Angle's on the phone backstage with Stephanie. Jason Jordan barges in.
Comes in with a head of steam.
Yeah, he wants Samoa Joe in a match tonight.
Yeah.
And then he also wants a rematch against Reigns next week, and that's where Kurt Angle's saying, no.
He's like, dude, this isn't the Jason Jordan show.
Yeah.
You get one match, and that's it.
Yeah.
Go away. And then before Jason really had a chance to respond.
He pleads with Kurt about the match next week. Kurt says, well, okay, I'll take it under advisement.
Yeah.
And then Samoa Joe comes in and basically tackles Jason Jordan through the wall.
Oh, dude, he came in. Yeah, it was like a car come running in. One of those, like a security camera, a car running into a store. He bowled into him. And then he said, "Like, I guess like father, like son, huh, Kurt?" I'm assuming referencing, like, maybe their past in TNA.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't really know what like father, like son means besides, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Like, either. I just ran this guy over.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I don't think they'd reference TNA in the WWE product, but you never know.
Well, they have a history.
In another company.
What's TNA going to do? Sue them? I think WWE.
Well, maybe WWE
could do whatever
they
want.
Maybe if Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle's contracts got retroactively changed.
Exactly.
So they own all their IP, then.
There you go. I think they had that written in there.
I wonder if, like, if they take it to a extreme, like, is Impact just giving away all their creative?
I think so.
Like,
man.
All their storylines?
Sounds like it.
Wow.
So the people who originally performed those storylines, they now own them.
They can prove that that was their idea.
What a weird situation.
Strange. Next.
That's pretty weird.
Paige's first one-on-one match in more than a year against Sasha Banks.
Yeah, man.
Another match they gave a ton of time to.
Really good match. This is the first match back, and they put her in there with the right person.
Yep.
Her and Sasha Banks had a near pay-per-view level quality match. Alexa Bliss once again was on commentary. And then
Mickey James and Bayley came to the ring with Sasha.
Yeah.
Paige was joined by her fellow Absolution members.
Absolution. Yeah. So they were all out there. Saw some brawling out there. Sasha, unfortunately, towards the finish of the match. So she was able to avoid one rampage.
Yeah.
And she had Paige in a bank statement, but Paige was able to get a rope break.
Yeah.
And then some shenanigans. Sasha gets distracted by Absolution on the outside.
Because they had just beaten down Mickey James and Bayley.
Exactly. She comes back in, turns around, eats a boot, and then a rampage. Game over.
Yep.
Paige wins. She's not going to eat a loss for a little while.
Probably not until WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think so.
When she loses to
Asuka. I didn't notice. Did Alexa slink away this time?
Yes.
She did.
During the Absolution beatdown at the end.
Okay.
They didn't show it, but Michael Cole said, Michael Cole was giving Alexa crap the whole time about high talent out last week.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
No, and then she was like, Booker, you know what I did, right? He's like, oh, yeah, you got to call your shots. You got to choose, pick your battle, something like that. I love Booker.
The character work from commentary is great.
I don't know. Look, man. I know a lot of I've seen a lot of comments talking crap about Booker T. That's fine. To each their own. I think he's a national treasure.
He's fantastic.
He's Elvis icon.
Yeah.
He's up there. Ric Flair, not pop culture icon. Booker T.
Yes.
And Stevie Ray, both pop culture icons.
Well, I think I wonder.
Harlem Heat, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, and Marilyn Monroe.
I wonder if some people just prefer commentary that calls the action in the ring. And the interplay between Corey Graves, Michael Cole, and Booker T is so good.
Yeah.
It's like they've completely transformed what commentary is. Their characters just as involved in the action as the wrestlers are.
Oh,
Because they have the right group of people, it works.
Me too.
It's all about character.
And now. I totally get that it's not everybody's cup of tea. Yeah. That's totally fine. To each their own. I personally love it. I think it's akin to what we were talking about, how great it would be to see AJ and Brock on the couch together up on the top of the ramp for the Rumble.
Yeah.
Calling the match.
Yeah.
Or just talking.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they just get into their own conversations and it's great.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, then we had, I don't know. So usually I'm not a huge fan of like backstage dialogue stuff because I think it's overwritten and crap.
Yeah.
But Kurt Angle and Elias. Elias shows up and there was just a really good back and forth with them.
Well, I think the performance was really good. The flow was natural.
The dialogue was good.
Yeah.
The dialogue was good. Elias said something, virtue doesn't make a man, sometimes the virtuous fall. I don't know what
it
was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Kurt Angle said, isn't that Shakespeare? And then Elias, I forget what Elias said, but it was just a really, really well done bit of dialogue.
And Elias called Jason Jordan Kurt Angle's bastard.
Oh, and then he called him his bastard. That was so good. That was a really, really well-written segment. So whoever actually wrote that, hats off to you.
Yeah.
The bottom line is Elias won another shot at Reigns. I forget, what was the resolution to that? Oh, he said, I want competition. He said, so tonight I'm just going to sing a song.
Yeah, yeah. And Kurt says, well, hold on a second. I'll find you some competition.
Okay, that's what the resolution. Okay, that's fine.
Next, we had Enzo backstage talking to Daivari, Tony Nese, Gulak, and Noam Dar.
Yeah.
Kind of giving a pep talk because Nese and Gulak were in the Fatal 4-Way tonight. And he's pretty much saying, hey, one of you two need to do what Daivari and Dar couldn't do.
Yeah.
Win. Seize an opportunity.
Right.
But of course, it took him like 4 minutes to do it.
Yeah, it took him forever. There was also an interesting bit. I'll mention it now. So Gulak ended up going over in a fantastic,
it was great.
Fantastic match. We'll talk about the Nia Jax thing in a second. But there was a video on WWE.com, I guess, where Gulak went up to Enzo in the locker room and was like, hey, I did it. I won. And Enzo was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Good job. And Gulak's like, where are you going? He's like, they need me on this international tour. He said, so you're holding the fort down, okay? And Gulak seemed to take great pride in doing that.
Oh, yeah, he's in charge of 205 Live.
He's in charge of 205 Live this week.
Yeah.
Okay. So then everybody leaves. Enzo turns around. Nia Jax is standing there with a weird, creepy smile on her face.
And then she just says, how you doing?
How you doing? I think they're going to write Enzo off of 205 Live.
Oh, could be.
I think they want to keep him on Raw because he pops ratings.
Yeah.
He can't wrestle, so there's no reason for him to stick around 205 Live past losing the title. And I think he might end up being Nia Jax's manager. I don't think they're going to do the romantic thing that this seemed to be setting up.
Yeah.
I would really doubt that they're going to turn Nia Jax from a monster into somebody who would get involved in a storyline with Enzo in a romantic way.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense.
But I could see her possibly saying,
because it doesn't make sense, it makes it more likely that WWE will do it.
I mean, look, man, I'm trying to find some silver lining.
No, I prefer your
scenario. Possibilities.
But I don't see what justification they would have to write Enzo off if he is helping 205 Live perform better.
Well,
the network.
It hasn't been in the top 10
over
the past couple weeks. So I don't know that maybe his presence there was maybe a flash in the pan for the show, and maybe they're thinking, well, if we want to do this live tour thing.
Maybe it was actually Kalisto who was popping the ratings.
Yeah, I don't remember if I said that as a joke or if I was actually serious about that. I don't know.
We don't have, all we have is the timeline of that storyline.
Yeah, I know.
And that up to the ratings.
I know.
And even that is kind of just circumstantial. It's not conclusive proof of anything.
I wonder if, they sent that survey thing out.
Yeah.
Maybe they got some good feedback from that. And maybe they're decided to take this on, like, in a more wrestling. They're really hitting a great stride right now, especially with Drew Gulak, who I honestly think is going to turn face and win this title.
Oh, could be.
That's my new theory on this. Because that PowerPoint presentation thing, people seem to love.
Yeah.
It's getting over.
Yeah.
He is absolutely, but next to Enzo, he's the best talker.
Oh yeah,
of them all.
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, you can put the belt on him and see what you can do. Bring in Hideo Itami, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, well, they're doing that for
sure. Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if Nia Jax might approach Enzo and say, "Look, don't get any ideas. For some reason, I've come up short winning that women's title. I always seem to be on the outside. You're a guy who can get things done. I want you to manage me." That keeps him on Raw. In a kind of position that he was in with Cass, but not a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the idea of her having a dude as a manager.
Fine. That'd be fine.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
She's not really good at reading dialogue.
I know, it's so strange where she's, like, her trash talk in ring is really good.
And then, like, the few things I've seen with her, like, when she's just being natural on Total Divas.
She's good.
She's good.
Yeah.
I know. She's got all the personality in the world.
Some people just have problems with written dialogue.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that thing. I'm going to write some dialogue for you.
All right.
Hey, did you find what pay-per-view you're going to quiz me on today?
Oh, no, I got to do that.
I mean, it takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You just look up a pay-per-view.
All right.
Anyways. I'll
think about it.
Yeah, so that led to this fatal four-way. I mean, good Lord, man. Could you imagine? I'm really, really curious to see how fresh live crowds on this tour.
Oh, react to these 205 live
shows. And if they're able to capture that on video and use that as the show.
Oh, that'd be the way to go. Occasional appearances by Raw stars.
Yeah.
This needs buzz. It doesn't have any buzz whatsoever.
I think it's with like guys like Drew Gulak, I think it's maybe getting there.
Yeah.
Maybe getting there. I think they've got a seed.
I mean, the
right
crowd reacted incredibly strong to this match.
The crowd reacted stronger to this Fatal 4-Way than ever they've reacted to any other 205 Live match.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander, because they were taking out all their frustrations with each other.
Yeah.
And there were two Spanish fly spots that were freaking amazing.
Oh, the top
amazing.
Rope one was insane.
The top rope, the springboard was great.
Yeah.
That was absolutely insane, and that had the crowd going crazy.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. All sorts of great stuff. This was, yeah, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, Mustafa Ali, and Cedric Alexander. Again, Cedric Alexander hitting a couple lumbar checks. First, he hit one on, I thought it hit one on Tony Nese, and he ended up rolling out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great because he's rolling out, and Cedric was like
trying to
grab onto him, and it didn't work.
And then he hits one of Mustafa Ali, and Mustafa Ali looked like he almost landed on his head.
Yeah.
Gulak hits Cedric with a knee, sends him rolling out of the ring, and he covers Ali and gets the pin.
Uh-huh.
Great stuff.
Yeah, no, this was absolutely fantastic.
And afterwards, Gulak gets on the mic.
Yeah.
I think it was Charlie asks, you know, hey, you know, you're aligned with Enzo. Is this going to be a problem?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'll tell you how things are going to go with my PowerPoint presentation.
Which never happened. They just moved on to the next segment.
Yeah, Elias came out.
Anyways, Elias came out. He decided to sing a song. He started to, and then he was interrupted by Braun.
It's the competition that Kurt Angle found for him.
Yeah, that was messed up for
stiff
Kurt Angle to do that.
Stiff competition. It's
pretty rude of Kurt Angle to do that.
Exceptionally rude.
Anyways, Braun comes down. He, what are you doing? You're acting like me over there.
No, I'm looking for what I'm going to do for the thing.
Do it during, during questions.
No, I already got it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Anyways, Braun comes down, and Braun is such a horror movie nightmare.
Oh, I know.
Because you try to run away from him, and there's that great segment where he like threw Elias there on the outside. He threw number one, Elias runs out of there, and then he decides to come back and try to attack him from behind, and that doesn't work. Braun throws him out of the ring. He gets down. Elias gets the guitar. He kills Braun on the back with it,
yeah,
and
Braun,
it does nothing.
Braun no sells it completely.
Elias looks down at his guitar, looks at Braun.
Ref calls for the bells. DQ win for Braun.
Right. Elias tries to run through the ring. You know, he gets into the ring to run out the other side, and Braun chases him down.
Oh, he sprints all the way around and intercepts him.
And even in horror movie fashion, Elias tripped a couple times in the ring trying to get out.
Yeah, it was well done.
Which allowed the monster to catch up with him.
It was good.
It was fantastic.
Gets him back in the ring, power slams him, throws the ring, steps in the ring. About to power slam again. Kane's music hits. But it's just on the TitanTron. He says,
Braun,
you know what it's like to be a monster among
Braun.
Men.
Braun, I
can't do Kane.
Hey, Braun.
No.
Hey, Braun.
No.
It's next week, you and I, man.
He says, you know
I'm
going to
take you down.
You know what it's like to be a monster among men, but you know what it's like to be a monster among monsters. Next week, Braun versus Kane.
Yeah.
Blow off, I'm going to assume.
I don't know if he's going to have any special stipulations.
Should be last man standing.
Stipulations.
That's what it should be.
Next up was the Shield backstage.
Goofy Shield.
Yeah, Goofy Shield. Dean was having like a Vision Quest thing.
Well, he was saying like, wait, we got a title match tonight?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Zing. Hey-o. Wow, crazy stuff.
Funny. And like Seth was trying to fake laugh.
They're all nerds, man.
They are. This version of the Shield is a super nerdy Shield.
The Nostalgia Act is a nerdy Shield.
It kind of is,
yeah. It is. I wonder if we're going to find out who the masked attacker for Roman Reigns
was.
I
want to ask you something here. Does it bother you? Because they're all members of the Shield. And when they come out for Shield matches, all three of them, they're in full Shield gear.
Yeah,
but when
sure.
they come out individually, they're not Shield. Yeah. They wear the shirt, but they come out in their individual gear. Does that bother you?
No, not at all.
It really bothers me.
Really? Why is that?
I feel like they should, if they're the Shield, they should be all Shield all the time. Because back in the original Shield days, when one of them had a match, they'd all come down together and they'd all go through the crowd and they'd all be in Shield gear.
Yeah.
If you're Shield, be Shield.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, it always kind of bugged me. I see what you're saying. It always kind of bugged me when Shawn Michaels was DX and I didn't really know what the precedent was for him coming out to HBK music or DX music.
Oh, it should be, if he's a member of DX, it should be DX.
Right, but, you know, because DX would have tag matches.
Yeah.
Then it's like, come out to DX. But then if it's just him, shouldn't he be coming out to just him music?
No, if he's a member, I mean, like, apart from Hogan, Hogan was the exception. Didn't everybody else in NWO come out to NWO music?
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
If you're in a faction, come out of faction music. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just how, well, you know, that's how I
feel. Yeah, but, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I'm trying to think, okay, so...
Or at least this. Okay, you're going to wear your individual gear.
Yeah.
It still bugs me at this point that Rollins and Ambrose have separate entrances when they're a tag team.
They haven't... Yeah, that's something they botched. They didn't figure that one out. But okay, well, you tell me. What would be better then?
Then have them come out as Shield.
But what if Roman's not there? They're just coming out to Roman's music.
That's fine. No, because it has the call letters beforehand.
So yeah, I know. Music. But after the call letters, this is Roman's music.
Well, that was a botch on WWE's part when
they broke them up. You're exactly right. That was a botch on WWE's part when they broke them up. You're exactly right.
But anyways, because in the olden days, when the original Shield was around, that's what they would do.
Yeah.
They'd come in through the crowd to that music, and Seth would do his flip over the barricade.
But here's
and all
the thing,
stuff.
Man. They got to sell their merch. Rollins has his own shirts he wants to sell. Ambrose has his own shirts he wants to sell.
But they're just wearing Shield merch.
Now sometimes Rollins wears his shirt.
But last night he wasn't.
They've all established themselves.
You notice last night the Burn It Down was back?
Yeah, no. It was a file mix set.
It was a botch.
I think it was Alex C.
It was a playlist botch.
Who said the file names are probably similar.
Yeah. It probably is. It's a difference between V1 and V2.
Right, exactly. And like the little window was closed in.
So, it was like, okay, this is a coin flip here.
Exactly.
And then there's no Burn It Down and Vince Pike.
Well, no, he chose the second one because he thought it was V2. But it wasn't arranged by name.
It was by last played.
By last played or date.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, last played, exactly.
So V2 was actually the one on top.
Correct.
All right, next match. Asuka versus Alicia Fox.
Asuka.
Asuka had a little promo before the match, a little picture-in-picture.
Oh, I loved it. I love that she's still wearing the captain's hat.
Oh, it's great.
She says, look at me. I'm the captain. I love Alicia Fox. I think she's great.
No, she's fantastic.
She's so cartoonish. Anyway, she went in there and got her ass whooped by Asuka.
Yeah, she got some offense in,
She got some in, more than Dana Brooke last week.
Oh, yes. Dana Brooke got zero.
She got zero. It was great.
None.
I can watch that as a GIF.
Endlessly.
Her just, like, spinning around and them doing, like, a twist.
It's interesting that they seemed, you know, granted, it's a small sample size, only in the last 2 weeks, but the Asuka lock is not a finisher anymore. They're just doing the cross-arm breaker.
Yeah, I know, but I loved it. It looked great.
Oh, it's more dynamic.
Yeah, it is. It looks fantastic.
You come out of nowhere. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So after the match, Absolution comes out, surrounds the ring. Asuka leaves. Because, I guess Absolution's just afraid to attack Asuka at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they've got some sort of plan for her. And Asuka looks really disappointed because Asuka just wants to kill everybody.
Yeah, she wants to fight.
And I love it. It's great. She's able to, like, you know, perform all that stuff just on her face, no words.
Yeah.
Just, all right, you guys don't want a piece of this? I'm out of here.
She laughs it off and leaves.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty great.
Paige picks up the mic, drops a promo, and says, Alicia Fox, you know, you're my best friend. I love you.
Oh, I loved this.
I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But Mandy and Sonya don't exactly feel the same way.
Yeah.
And
I loved it.
They come in and then beat the heck out of Alicia Fox.
Paige is so good as this, like, you know, heel person who's just like, oh, I love it. I think, and she's so good on the mic. She's like a freaking movie villain, dude.
Yeah.
You know, she's like a movie villain. It's great.
Next, we had Finn Balor versus Bo Dallas. I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Finn Balor was doing a lot of smiling last night.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed genuine, like he was really happy about something.
Yeah.
What could that be?
He just found out that he's going to face Brock Lesnar. No, how about this?
That's what I
thought,
dude,
too. He got on twitch.tv/Steven Larson and watched Steven Larson book
her off. Oh, there you go.
And he saw how the Demon Balor
beat.
Yeah.
The beat. Oh.
Dude, come on, man. Sorry. You're spoiling it.
Sorry. Check it out next Monday.
Check it out next Monday on YouTube, or you can check it out right now on Twitch.
Yeah.
We got a skit on there, too. No, he did seem really happy. He had super, super win face, but it did seem to be a bit more than that. It's kind of bugged me, though, because he has a new jacket with no collar.
Yeah.
And his entire thing is popping his collar.
He still does this.
Dude, you can't.
No, he still. He
oh, cut. Dude, you don't do this with the lapel.
No, there's a little bit of a collar.
No, dude, it was like...
It's about that.
It was this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can't pop this.
He still
can't pop this.
He still does this to that one side of the crowd.
Yeah, that's cool, but nothing is as cool as this. And he popped the lapel, and it just falls back down. Remember Adam Cole's leather jacket?
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was all floppy and dumb.
It was like a sports coat.
Yeah, I know. It was horrible. That's not cool. And that, I kind of feel like Finn was close to that.
No.
Popping the collar. When you've got a collar that looks like that, it's cool.
The popping the collar is too much of a Fonz thing for me, honestly.
The Fonz was like the ultimate and cool.
Yeah, I know, but that was also supposed to be in the 1950s.
When's that on the icon list? The 50s were cool. Like, I mean, come on. Not like in real life. 50s are terrible.
Yeah.
But in pop culture, things are pretty cool. Come on, man. Brando?
I like when he does this.
James Dean?
It reminds me of Emperor Palpatine shooting lightning.
That's maybe the least cool thing you've ever said. That's horribly uncool for... He's not cool if he reminds me of Emperor Palpatine,
no, it's just
nerd.
No, his hand like this. When I see anybody with their hands out like this, I think, oh, he's going to shoot hand lightning. Hand lightning is cool.
Okay, if he shot hand lightning, it'd be kind of cool.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be also kind of nerdy, though, right? Anyways. He fought Bo Dallas, who came out to the Miz's music. Guess who won this match?
Not Bo Dallas.
No, not Bo Dallas. The battle of two former NXT stars.
Exactly.
Finn Balor came out on top.
Yes, Finn won with a coup de grace or coup de gras. They change the name of it every week.
Oh, did Corey say something different this time?
No, it's Michael Cole. Michael Cole says coup de grace.
Yeah.
And Corey Graves says coup de grace. And I think the latter is correct because coup de grace would be G-R-A-S.
S, yeah.
Whereas it's not spelled that way. It's spelled like grace.
Is
coup de grace is spelled like that.
Is great. Is this spelling of it actually like a word in French?
Yeah, it's grasse.
It is grasse.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't tell you. Next up, we had the debut of...
Yeah,
it's wonderful. Woken Matt Hardy.
Yeah, coup de grasse.
There you go. And it was Bray Wyatt. It started off with a Bray Wyatt promo, and he was talking about...
Probably going to be either.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. Could be either.
So everybody's right.
Yeah, everybody's right. Everybody wins, baby. It's a dusty finish of pronunciations. Bray Wyatt came out, and he's talking about Matt Hardy. He's like, oh, man, I know who Matt Hardy is, man.
Honestly, I wasn't paying any attention to a word that Bray was saying through this entire thing.
Me neither.
Because I was so tickled by... Woken Matt Hardy.
Tickled by how tickled Matt Hardy is.
Yeah, they seem like he have a huge weight off his shoulders. He finally have fun at his job.
He finally is out of nostalgia act territory.
Yeah, and you can tell that he's actually enjoying himself.
So it was a bunch of the Broken Matt stuff. And he said, I've been woken, the Celestial being one, all that crap. It was great. And they go back and forth. And Bray Wyatt was down in the bowels of the arena, as he always is.
And they do like a glitchy transition.
Yeah, and then Matt Hardy, a cheesy, glitchy transition.
Looked like he was in some sort of heavenly domain.
Right, but it was like completely like normally lit.
Yeah,
not like color timed or anything.
No.
But you're right, he was having a good time. I mean, if I had any qualms with it, which I don't, because I think it was great. I thought, you know what? We finally get this. He's happy. Everybody's marking out right now. This is great. I think it's going to lead to amazing things because it was a big platform for him.
Yes, and the crowd popped huge.
The crowd popped huge.
The whole thing.
And I think they actually got the content of it right.
Yeah.
Because they did a thing at the end where they did kind of a laugh-off where Bray was laughing, and then it cuts to Matt laughing, and then Bray laughing, and then Matt laughing, and they took it one segment of Matt laughing too far, which made it perfect.
Yes.
Because at that point, the crowd cracked up at how goofy Matt's laughing ended up being.
Yes.
It was perfectly produced. Yes, it could have been on a GoPro or drone or whatever he filmed that stuff with before.
Give it time.
And I think they're going to do this.
Yes.
This is the perfect way to start
it. If they build this feud up, for them to have their match at the Rumble,
this is something they can
give it time,
dude. This is something they can do. Doesn't need titles. Just send a camera crew out to wherever they need to send it to. Have this entire damn feud take place in filmed segments.
Yes,
and people will eat it up. And by the time they show up at the Royal Rumble to have their match, this is going to be one of the hottest card matches on the card.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Because they'll never come face-to-face in front of a live crowd.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you noticed this, but I felt like, especially the beginning of Bray's promo, like he just wasn't into it, man.
Yeah, I know. I know.
His eyes showed zero passion.
I know. I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know if he's into this. He should be.
Oh yeah, I know. This is an opportunity for him to do some good character work and hopefully bring some life back to his character, which is
this. I mean, the crowd,
win or lose.
Yeah, I know. The crowd will eat this up if they do this right. Even if they do it half-assed and wrong, if it's pre-film stuff, that's the joy of the broken stuff. You know, it's a lot of crap where they were, him and Jeremy Borash were probably like, oh, there's that old boat over there. Let's just go make fun of that.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's any grand scheme. It's not like they sat around, and then he has a boat. No, man, I guarantee they're just out there clowning around. They came up with a bunch of crap. Give me they can do this wrong and still get it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's WWE. They'll probably get it wrong, get it wrong.
Yeah.
Anyways. Next up, we had a fantastic match. The Shield versus T-Bar. I thought for sure Shield were going to just pick up these
same here.
Titles. But once again, T-Bar proved me wrong.
Yeah. The finish, or at least the finish the first time, saw Seth hit his cool knee on Cesaro. I'm going to keep calling it that until they name it something else. But even then, I'll probably just still call it that cool knee.
What do you call it? Yeah, that cool knee.
That
thing,
cool knee. That's what he called it this week. Said to Sam Roberts, it was called to him. Sheamus breaks up the pin, but rather just going back to his corner, he proceeds to just beat the heck out of Seth.
Right.
The ref protests. Sheamus ignores it, gets DQ'd. Kurt Angle comes out, restarts the match. It looks like the Shield is going to win. Samoa Joe comes down to the ring, starts attacking the Shield because it's no DQ.
Yeah.
Now that Kurt Angle restarted it. Ref can't do anything. Reigns is in the back watching.
That's a great...
And it takes him a while to make his way out to the ring to break things up. By the time he gets out there, chases Joe off. Cesaro can pick up the pin on Ambrose after Sheamus hit him with a broke kick.
Right, right. I like this a lot. I thought it was great. I think a lot of people thought when Kurt Angle comes down, says we're restarting the match. And then, of course, when the cameras stop rolling, they end up giving like a triple powerbomb to like everybody or
Sheamus through the table.
Yeah. So that was great. So the crowd got what they wanted. But
within the next 2 weeks, we're going to get the Shield versus T-Bar and Samoa Joe. In the
right,
event.
Yeah. Probably next week, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll wait till the Rumble. It's a long ways off to actually have the Shield win the belts again, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a good way to keep the Shield out of the Rumble, you know, just two more guys that can, or it opens up two more spots.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, do you think so? All the reports about Roman Reigns losing the IC title, could it be to Joe with the help of T-Bar?
Could be.
I mean, it could be. I'll be really surprised if we see a Roman Reigns pin before WrestleMania.
I'd be too. And I like we said in Ken out last week, I still think the most logical, believable, and best choice would be have Braun beat him for it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's gonna happen.
I think the thing that makes the most sense is to have him go walk into WrestleMania with it. Because
I meant in terms of anybody beating him, logical choice is
because he even said last night, this is the belt to have. The IC title.
Yeah.
And if he keeps on referring to it that way and we keep on seeing not a lot of the Universal title, then that belt will be elevated by the time he goes into WrestleMania with it.
You want to open some mail?
Yeah, let's open some mail. We got some great mail here. First off, this, by the way, is from JT Hosack.
Oh, cool.
He did it via, was it Custom Ink?
Yeah.
Yeah, via Custom Ink. But it's a shirt for you.
Oh, cool.
You guys can send us crap too. P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California, 95662.
Says, nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, man. Look at that. It's an old school wrestler on it.
Dan Larson. Nostalgia is a hell of a drug. Thank you very much, JT Hosack.
So this comes from... That is fantastic.
That's awesome.
This comes from Kevin F. Here, you get to open up that wrestling club. I love these.
Yeah, these are
so
great.
So it's thatwrestlingclub.com? Is that what it is?
Correct.
These are fantastic crates. They keep on sending us these, and I love them the time. Great. Anyway, this is from Kevin F. Well, we got little Seth, the architect himself.
Oh, cool.
Seth Rollins figure my child will probably play with. Yeah, even when I put it up there, she takes them all down. I put them back up. What is this? Ooh, looks like we had a wrestling magazine here. Hold on, don't give us that one yet.
I shall not.
Look at this. Wrestling Superstars.
Oh, I see Barry Windham on there.
Oh, man, can I order all this stuff?
I want all that Pro Wrestling Illustrated stuff.
Pete Lizard. Oh, look, it's all black and white. Oh, look at Bruiser Brody.
Brody, Harley Race.
Great. Oh, look at
Flair.
That.
Flair. Oh, Magnum TA.
That's great.
Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen. Look at these back issues you can order. Probably not. Oh, look at Jesse the Body Ventura. Look at that, man. All stuff for our new office set, Larson.
Perfect.
There's some more stuff in here. Oh, man. Look at this guy. Talk about icons.
Oh, there you go.
The Rock. Look at that guy. That's fantastic. A little frame falling apart there. Another framed. Oh, wait, another wrestling magazine. What are you stuck on? Gee willikers.
My goodness.
I know. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Bunch of cards in here.
Oh, my goodness. We have new cards.
Oh, look at that. Are these stickers? No, are these? No, these aren't stickers.
They look like they could be.
I know. They look like it could be. Look at all these. There's a bunch of wrestling cards. And
awesome. We got new prizes.
Look at that. Oh, some NXT ones. Look at Psycho Killer. That's cool. Let's see if I can get these guys. Out. Oh, here we go.
Maybe. There you go.
Here we go. More wrestling stuff.
Look at that. Oh, hell yeah.
You got a picture of the rattlesnake. It's all stuck on there. Oh, hell yeah.
Another and wrestling another magazine. Wrestling issue. Superstars.
Wrestling Superstars.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
More cards?
Yeah, more cards. So these will be prizes for people. Oh, look at that, Mandy Rose. Total Divas. John Cena. There we go. There's Charlie Caruso. Referee Ryan Tran. A crying Mandy Rose. Oh, she got blown off by Eva Marie.
Oh, no.
Wow. Anyways, awesome what do we get stuff. From that wrestling crate?
First up.
Club.
Al Snow.
Whoa, look at that. That's fantastic. Look at that guy.
A button that says, if Cena wins, we riot.
Ooh.
From,
controversial.
I guess that would probably be, is that supposed to be from the ECW?
Yeah, from, yeah.
An autographed Sandman and Sabu.
Oh, look at that.
Some ECW originals.
Some ECW originals right there.
This? Oh, look at this. Like a copy of the script from ECW One Night Stand 2006.
Whoa, that's cool.
That's super cool.
Oh, my God, that's cool.
Oh, you'll like this, Steve. The franchise.
Whoa, that is so cool.
It's a large, though.
Oh, I'll fit into that. I don't care. It looks like a big large.
Yeah, it does. One of Steve's favorites, the hey, franchise. Like,
nothing else, it'll be a motivational shirt.
I'm going to check this out.
That's super cool.
Oh, this is incredible.
I know, right? What the heck? Then we got one more thing from, again, from Kevin F. All sorts of great stuff from Kevin F. today. It's all taped up. You have your keys on you?
I do.
Can you open this, please?
Man, I'm going to take a good look at that. There's a, you got it?
We can now write wrestling scripts.
I guess so. This
because we have what one looks like.
This is the format, I guess.
It's taking forever. So much tape on this. Let's see here. This is... It's a signed Apollo Crews. I'll take this out later. But it's a signed Apollo Crews picture.
Oh, cool.
I'll put it up right here. You guys will see it on the set eventually.
That's awesome.
Hey, Stephen Larson, still liking your guys' content. Don't change a thing. Sorry for giving you more cards. Also, the signed Apollo pic is from the swag bag I got at the first house show in Arlington, Texas at UTA. Figured you guys could use it for the set. Sucks the Funko Pop Ric Flair I sent back in March disappeared. It's right there. It's on our new set.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you got a replacement from another friendo. Oh, did we get two of those?
Okay. Oh, you must have.
I don't know. There's like a Kevin Owens down there. Man, I got a kid. She comes in here all the time and takes stuff. So, but we appreciate it very much.
Yes.
All right.
This is really neat.
Ready to do questions?
Yeah.
All right. All this stuff.
I know. Whoa, what was that?
That was just a pen or something.
Okay. All right, Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. Do you think Paige named her faction after her favorite mixed cocktail?
Absolute.
Absolute Vodka.
Absolute
what
vodka.
Other mixed drinks do you think would make a good faction name?
Oh, man. What a great question.
Faction name. Screwdriver.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Rusty Nail.
Rusty Nail. Yeah. What's the one that's
Old Fashioned?
I really like Old Fashioned, actually. What's the one that's like half Guinness, half... Oh, man, what is it?
Oh, Black and Tan?
Yeah, Black and Tan. That'd be a good one.
I'm trying to think what else. There's so many drinks out there.
That's great.
Next. Tokyo Dome Haze. Who's woken Matt Hardy's WrestleMania opponent? Think they'll take this thing with Bray all the way out to WrestleMania?
Wait, what's that?
Who has woken Matt Hardy's WrestleMania opponent?
If they're smart, they take this thing all the way to WrestleMania.
Because
that, I mean, dude, come on. There's a lot to be mined with both these characters. Bring the Bludgeon Brothers in.
Yeah. Dylan Scribner, with Le'Veon Bell's WWE-inspired touchdown celebration, how would you guys celebrate scoring a touchdown? Did you see that? He pinned somebody after scoring a touchdown.
I saw Gronk throwing an elbow down on a guy.
Oh, yeah, he concussed that guy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he got suspended in the game.
He should be suspended longer than that. Maybe
probably should have
brain damage.
How would we celebrate a touchdown?
You know, man, it's always very satisfying for me when I just see a guy run in the end zone and just sort of flip the ball and just you're done with it. You did your job. You did your job. No extra celebration.
You know what I'd do? I'd have a player or players simulate a table, and me and someone else would act like we're recording a podcast. That's how I'd celebrate my
touchdown. Oh, that's a good one. I would do this. I would have a live sex show with football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that'll get you fined.
I wouldn't actually.
Maybe suspend.
Wouldn't actually.
No, just the mere insinuation that you are fornicating
with the
football.
Dry humping the football.
Is enough to garner a suspension.
A bit much. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Moscow Mule.
Oh, Long Island Iced
Tea. Oh, Tequila Sunrise. That's a great name for
about Cosmopolitan.
God, that's a great name right there. Let's see here. Gin and Tonic. Let's see here.
Zombie.
Hurricane. We've already seen a hurricane. Sidecar.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to the ring right now. Sidecar. Seabreeze. Dark and Stormy.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. Blue Lagoon. French 75. That sounds like one.
It sounds like Apollo 55.
Yeah, that's right.
Prince Devitt and Taguchi tag team. Kevin Mack, thoughts on how WWE should book Rebby's debut?
Return of the Mack.
And for that matter, how should Brother Nero's debut go?
All in filmed stuff,
yep.
Man. Yeah.
Have Rebby at the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just go back to the house, man.
Got to have Brother Nero working on his lawn. Oh, no. Yeah, working on his lawn.
Itchweed, yeah.
Yeah, Itchweed, yeah. Bring back Itchweed.
Bring back Itchweed.
Itchweed.
Fez Logic, is Nia Jax having that interesting interaction with Enzo bad writing or a form of punishment? I would really doubt they're punishing her.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, given what we've heard with her and having some leverage because of The Rock, I don't think it's going to be a punishment thing.
Deontay Soigne, I feel like Joe has established himself as top heel on Raw.
Well, he's facing off against the top face. So
yeah. He's everything a badass heel should be, agreed. Should he be that hubris that obliterates to all the top guys, become the next monster heel to be champ? I'd love for him to win the title.
I would love him to be champ too. So yes.
Yes. We are huge Samoa Joe fans, both of us.
Dan Boss, is this stable war type thing going to play out better or worse in your opinion than when Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte got called up and everyone had a stable? Already it's better.
Yeah.
Because they really kind of messed that one up pretty bad.
Yeah. Ray Byatt, power rank, top five finishers on Raw. He says Cedric Alexander's lumbar check is by far the best. Yeah, number one.
I love the lumbar check,
especially when it's sold well.
That's your number one, really?
Lumbar check is great.
I love the lumbar check. I'm just not sure if it's number one.
What's better?
The bronze power slam.
It's more destructive, I think the lumbar check looks cooler.
Bronze.
Soft cradle to the mat.
I love it.
I mean, F5 is a cool move. That cool knee.
Yeah, I hate that. That's like my least favorite. Um, Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe a lumbar check is number one.
If they let Joe do the muscle buster, that'd be up.
No, that's dangerous.
Muscle buster is a cool looking move.
Hey, did you see the dude on the, was it Steelers? Who?
That back injury.
I didn't see the injury
itself. Yeah, I watched
it
this morning.
Looked pretty bad.
No.
It really?
Looks like a tackle. He dropped
his head
down.
He puts his head down, yeah.
I think
they said there's some movement in his lower extremities.
Yeah, he had feeling in his legs. But yeah, when it happens, he lands just, you know, right down and manages to roll himself over and grabs his lower back and immediately calls the trainers up.
Oh, my God.
Because he couldn't feel his legs.
Yeah.
Oof. Like a, just like, you know, you jammed his head into someone's hip or thigh.
Yeah.
And probably just compressed his spine. Because I've read that there was some swelling or bruising of his spinal column.
That sucks.
I heard that game last night was just pretty rough in general. A lot
yeah.
of rough hits and stuff.
CM Punk finds it insulting. I always hear that part of the reason hate Roman is because he's a chosen one, and yet Braun Strowman is also a chosen one, and he's arguably the most over guy in the WWE right now. Charlotte is another chosen one that the hardcores love as well. So why do people use the chosen one excuse for not liking Roman almost exclusively for him? I think because Braun has had wins and losses, and Roman, there seems to be a very specific path laid out for him. Whereas with Braun, there doesn't seem to be.
Well, also, yeah, it feels like Braun, they've, for the most part, taken their time.
Yeah.
He's on year two of his solo push.
Yeah.
And he's had one match for a title.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Whereas I feel like in the first year, within 6 months of the Shield breaking up, Roman won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And he was going to go on to face Lesnar at WrestleMania.
And I like Charlotte because she comes off as the best wrestler in the women's division. Like, she exudes that.
Yeah.
And I've never felt that Roman's really done that.
No.
You know? So.
He seems like right now he's hitting a pretty decent stride. He feels more comfortable on the mic. I think this Intercontinental Open Challenge will give him a showcase to show off his wrestling ability. So I'm hopeful that, you know, we want the best for everybody. We want to see Roman Reigns succeed. We don't dislike the guy.
No, it's never been about that.
No.
It's been about, is he the most interesting guy to watch?
Yes.
And for me personally, he's never been that.
No, he might not ever be. But if he can be a really good worker, be decent enough on the mic to be at least occasionally captivating.
I think it's, I mean, for, to me.
There's, he'll be successful.
It makes it, to me, it makes it interesting for him in terms of who he's fighting. For example, I really liked the build-up for him versus Cena because mm-hmm. they were doing some stuff that was, you know, meta or breaking the fourth wall or whatever you want to, however you want to call it. It was very referential to the business aspect of things. I thought it was interesting. I thought they hadn't really done that before to that degree.
Yeah.
The match he had with Jason Jordan last night, you know, that wasn't all Jason Jordan. Roman Reigns can put on a really good match.
He can.
When he's got somebody in there with him to put a really good match on with him. So, So I don't know. I mean, there are nights that I like Roman. There are nights that I don't like Roman. I think if he's, for me, I think if he sticks around long enough and they just get done with this WrestleMania thing, I'll be more apt to be, okay, well, let's see what else he can do now that he's, once they don't have a plan, I'm kind of interested to see what they do with him.
Yes.
I guess that's my thing.
Yeah, once they kind of get through all this thing. Fat bastard champ Alex Foster, wrong answers only. Who should be part of the Woken universe? He says Titus Brand.
Oh my God, that'd be weird. I like the idea because it's so off the wall.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I would not have thought that as like my first option. Rich Swann.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of an oddball. I want to see him do more of that invisible driving, but on the Hardy compound.
Yes. But it'd be like the rider mower that Matt Hardy was on during the final deletion.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good answers.
All good answers. Oh, here we go. Mike Big Dog Demopoulos. Would you be excited to see House of Horrors Part 2 with Bray versus Woken Matt? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All of that.
Jose GGR, what is the best WWE thing? Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation, Daniel Bryan having fun, or Corey Booker and Cole talking about Elias? That's one thing I like about the Elias stuff with the commentary team. Michael Cole always finds a way to get a Springsteen reference
every week. I know.
And it's pretty impressive.
It's really good. Oh, that's my favorite. That's my favorite stuff. Because you even know, right before Elias came out last night, I think the commentary announced that he was going to be coming out. And you could already see the tickled look on Booker and Cole's face.
Yeah.
That they got to now do the Elias stuff with Corey Graves. Because Corey Graves had to act like he was annoyed.
Yeah.
But you just know they're all going to have a good time with it.
Yes.
Sandra, I left to buy my pre-sale tickets for Smack. She was at Rollins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She says, I left.
She posted her tickets on
she had good tickets.
She had really good seats. Yeah. She's first row.
She was on TV. I left to buy my pre-sale tickets for SmackDown during the Shield versus T-Bar match, thinking that the Shield was going over. Once I came back, I was actually surprised that T-Bar retained the belts. So Sandra left during the main event.
That's weird they have the tickets go on sale during the main event.
All right, what the heck?
I guess it won't be much of a line.
She says, do you guys think they're waiting till Mania for Seth and Dean to win the tag team
belts?
That
is a long ways out still.
Or is this the start of the Shield breakup? No, I think they're going to, the latest they're going to win them has got to be the Rumble.
You think.
I think it'd be the Rumble. I appreciate that they're keeping Sheamus and Cesaro relevant far past when I thought they would. And that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like it's got to be the Rumble.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to go into Mania retaining the titles.
Yeah. Slow Wolf, first time patron here. I know you both are fans of tournaments. Yes.
Yes.
But what do you think of a King or Queen of the Ring mixed tag tournament? You could have strange team pairings like Bayley and Braun Strowman or destructive force teams like Samoa Joe and Nia Jax. So what are your thoughts and what teams would you like to see?
Oh, I love the idea of Bayley and Braun Strowman. Yeah, I think that'd be adorable as heck.
Yeah.
That'd be so great.
P.S., he says, I listen to you guys while working, have gotten strange looks when I have laughed randomly from one of your jokes. Thanks for all the hours of
entertainment.
Nice. Thank you.
Nice.
That's a great idea. Let me think of some teams. Teams.
Yeah.
Who would Charlotte team with?
AJ. They always put her with AJ.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
always put her with AJ.
True. AJ and Charlotte. That's a good team. Becky and Finn Balor. They're friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely.
Asuka and...
Oh, wow.
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, man. That's very scary. Who would Bray Wyatt team up with?
Sarah Logan.
Oh, there you go. But put her in a crazy Mary Dobson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Man, you're crazy. Do you want to do more questions? Or I have a pay-per-view for you.
I know you're anxious. Hold on. Just a couple more here.
All right.
The base hit king. Eric Blaha, do you feel that Woken Matt Hardy has full creative control of his character? It seems like the quality of it with the cheap background sheet and comedic editing is very non-WWE-like, especially when you compare it with Bray's polished look of his promo. I'm very optimistic about it, especially since I was a huge fan of the Broken Matt.
I don't think he has complete creative control. I'm hoping he has some input.
Yeah, I would think he does. How much of that? Okay, his thing last night. He had to have written it.
I would think so.
I would think that he's, I mean, that's a lot. I would say this. They probably say, I would say there's a lot of collaboration there.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way. There's probably a lot of collaboration there.
Yes. Or at the least, if he didn't write it, someone wrote it, trying to mimic his speech and gave it to him and he rewrote it.
Yeah.
At the least.
At the least.
At the least he rewrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. We are going to do Armageddon. What year is this? 2008?
Ah, you're rude. That's rude, man.
2008.
What the heck?
Why is that rude?
I was giving you some gimmies last week.
No, you weren't. It was Clash of Champions 2.
Yeah, but it was kind of obvious who was winning those.
Not really.
All right, go on.
I'm not gonna include the.
What do we call it? Play per view? Is that what we call it?
Yeah, play per view. I'm not gonna include.
Can we credit who? Somebody gave us that name, right?
Yeah. Hold on. Let's get through this, and I'll credit them because I actually screen capped the comment.
Good job.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Armageddon 2008. I'm not gonna include the dark match.
Okay.
First, Matt Hardy versus Vladimir Koloff or Kozlov. Sorry,
Kozlov. Okay.
Matt Hardy versus Vladimir Kozlov.
Say Kozlov went over.
Yes.
Nice.
Next. CM Punk
versus
Rey Mysterio.
Are you letting me know if these are for titles or anything?
Oh, this is for number one contendership for Intercontinental title.
Number one contendership. Rey.
CM Punk.
Ooh.
Mark Henry versus Finlay in a Belfast brawl.
I mean, he's got to be Finlay. It's a Belfast brawl.
Yes. Randy Orton.
Orton.
Versus Batista.
Or anything?
Singles match.
That's just a singles match. Randy, see, I love this new game. It's my favorite. Randy Orton versus Batista. I mean, it's literally a toss-up. It's Batista.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next, 8 Diva, Santa's Little Helper tag team match. Jillian Hall, Maurice, Natalia, and Victoria versus Kelly Kelly, Maria, Michelle McCool, and Mickey James.
The one with Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next, singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Ooh. Chris Jericho versus John Cena.
For the big gold belt.
Uh-huh.
Jericho versus John Cena at Armageddon 2008. I mean, I'm thinking Jericho cheated. It's Jericho.
Lol, Cena wins.
Ah, son of a biscuit. Never bet against John
Finally,
Cena.
Finally, triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Mm. Triple H versus Jeff Hardy versus Edge.
Who came in as champion?
Edge.
Edge came in as champion. Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that. I think it was five out of seven.
Seven.
Woo! New record in for play for play. Play pay play per view.
Here, if we're going to keep scoring this, like, cumulatively,
yeah,
there needs to be even number of matches.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because you had a five-match card, and that was a seven-match card.
Okay. How many so we need to find a three-match card for you to even it up.
No, just going forward.
All right. Should we do, like, what if we just do, like, who wins each week?
Well, yeah. All right. That's fine.
But no, I'm saying, like, okay, starting next week,
yeah,
I'll bring one to the table. You bring one to the table.
And then the difference is like how we do trivia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll say, okay, next week, for example, let's do how many matches? We need to find a card with a certain number of matches.
Yeah.
How many? Eight?
Yeah.
Seven.
Just the same. Seven or eight.
Seven.
Okay.
Well, we got to figure it out.
And if there's more than seven, you just do the top seven matches.
Okay. So, oh, that's the last seven matches. Okay. Let's do seven.
Seven. Seven.
All right. Anyways, that was a lot of fun.
Where's our outro music?
Somewhere over there.
Out music. You might be listening to music now. I don't know. That's it for now. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.